The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Let me ask you something. When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
Afternoons on The Score.
Fourth and goal. And they're going to snap it. And it's Trey Burton who throws, caught. Foles, touchdown. How do you figure? They go to the very, very, very back of the playbook for the touchdown.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on The Score.
3 3-point games, 4 games who ended on the last play, and then the classic last night, Chiefs and Bills. Dan Pompey, Score NFL contributor. He's been writing about the NFL for 40 years, currently at The Athletic, and a Hall of Fame voter, kind enough to join us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Dan, thank you so much for the time. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, guys. Good to be with you this afternoon.
You too. Thanks, Danny.
We've seen a lot of great football. You've seen more than Spiegs and I, probably combined at this point. Is there an argument for either best game, Chiefs and Bills, or best weekend 2022 divisional round that you've ever seen?
Well, boy, I don't. That's hard to say. I mean, I'd really have to, before I make statements like that, I'd really like to dig in and remember everything and look back, but the game was just incredible. I mean, it was a spectacle. I mean, just two quarterbacks performing at that kind of level. I mean, you know, I've been telling people, I thought Josh Allen outperformed Patrick Mahomes. As crazy as that sounds, that makes me sound like I'm nuts because Mahomes won the game. But I mean, what an incredible, courageous performance by him. And then Mahomes was absolutely spectacular and so clutch. And the teams around them. I mean, there were so many players who stepped up, so many buttons that coaches pushed that worked. And, you know, that's the NFL at its finest. It just doesn't get much better.
You know, as we watch those two quarterbacks, I mean, I love a good scheme. I love a well-called game. But how many times did it come down to both of their abilities to shuffle their feet, adjust, move around, extend a play, see something, and find a way to do it, that it makes you think, you know, it is kind of just about finding the special quarterback. As much time and as consequences we put into scheme and coaching, how much of it is just about finding the guy, Danny?
Yeah, it's a good question, Spiegs, because, you know, I mean, there's only so many of those people in not only on the planet, but in history, right? Who can do the things that the two of those guys can do. They're both really, I think, unique would be not an overstatement to describe Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, you just can't really defend it. You know, there are players that if you do everything right, they still, if all 11 do everything right, they still can find a way to beat you. If you call the right defense, they still can find a way to beat it. And you know, they really you can't create another quarterback like that to defend or to oppose them either. I mean, you can look for one, but good luck trying to find one. You know, your best bet is just to assemble, if you're sitting there like you know, George Payton or Mark Davis in the AFC West and looking at Mahomes every year, I think you just have to hope to build a team that can somehow keep a close with him and hope that you can win games at the end.
I guess then the question is, what if you're sitting on a quarterback who you think might be special, but you're not sure in Justin Fields? What do you try to give him to give him an opportunity to get there? Like, do we wish he had a Brian Daboll from day one? Should you be finding that guy to be with him? What is the best way to equip Justin Fields and help him become whatever he can be in regards to those two guys?
Well, I mean, the Bills are a great model, really, because I think, you know, there were a lot of questions early on with the quarterback there and how he was progressing. And Even last year, even at times early this year, people had questions about him. And, you know, he just keeps getting better. And why does he keep getting better? Well, obviously, you know, it's the coaching, it's the players around him, it's the play calling, it's everything. You know, it's an organizational effort to bring out the best in him. And that's not to minimize his ability, which is spectacular. But sometimes, you know, we've seen a lot of players with spectacular ability in the history of the NFL. I mean, it's almost common where you see guys with spectacular ability and they never really put it together, realize it, or turn it into something that becomes the kind of advantage that these quarterbacks have.
Dan Pompey from The Athletic is our guest. There are some finalists now for the Bears coaching search. Matt Eberflus, Jim Caldwell, Dan Quinn. What do you make of the process at which they're doing this, with coaches and GMs being interviewed simultaneously and seemingly both going to be hired by the Bill Polian Brain Trust?
Yeah, I don't like the simultaneous interview process, Danny. I think that, you know, the best way to do it is to go out and hire a general manager and let him really kind of take the reins on it. You know, I think you want that general manager's fingerprints all over the team. And then the other thing you want is for the coach and the general manager to be in lockstep. And I think, you know, the best way for that to happen is for the general manager to hire the head coach. You know, unless you're talking about a guy like, you know, Sean Payton or something, who can come in and be both the general manager and the coach, for lack of a better term, because you'd probably give somebody like him complete authority over the personnel. But otherwise, I really don't like it. You know, I have no problem with Bill Polian being a consultant, because I think he's made a lot of really good hires in his career, and I think he knows what to look for in a coaching candidate as well as a general manager candidate, and which qualities that, you know, you should be focusing on and which you should kind of be ignoring. But I don't think he should be making the hire. I think that needs to be George McCaskey who makes the hire, because ultimately he's the one who's got to live with him and manage him. You know, it's going to be on George McCaskey's record, not Bill Polian's.
Do any of the candidates that they have brought back for, because we know that you wrote a book with Doug Peterson, it doesn't look like he's getting a second interview here. Do any of the candidates who they have given second interviews to impress you, Dan?
Well, you know, I'm impressed with Dan Quinn. I know Dan a little bit, and I think he's a guy whose leadership stands out. Now, obviously, he didn't have great success in his first go-round with the Falcons, but sometimes those guys end up having a lot more success on their second go-round because they learn from their mistakes. Obviously, a lot of, you know, we judge coaches by wins and losses, which we have to, because there's really, you know, nothing else that matters. But the wins and losses oftentimes are determined or influenced greatly by a lot of other factors, some which are out of their control, like who their quarterback is and who the players, you know, they have around them, and, you know, all kinds of things, as you guys well know. So, but I think, you know, when you look, he did a spectacular job, I thought, with some of the Cowboys defensive players this year, bringing along Micah Parsons and some of the things that they did in Dallas. And, you know, I don't think that's the reason you hire him. I don't think you're not hiring a defensive coordinator. You're hiring someone who's a head coach. So I think, you know, you have to take a step back and look at the big picture and say, you know, is this the guy who you think could be the leader for our team? And Eberflus is interesting. He's kind of, you know, the unknown guy, right? Because never has been if we're only talking about these three guys, which I'm not sure that's the case yet, but if we are, he's the only one of the three who's not been a head coach And so we don't know as much about him. Hasn't even been a defensive coordinator for a great long period of time. But he comes with some interesting credentials and a lot of people who really think highly of him. And, you know, Caldwell's a guy who's won in the league too and has got a pretty good body of work to examine at two different places. So those are three interesting candidates for the Bears.
You got me excited during the course of the year, Dan Pompey. All these decades we've been watching, and this idea of holistic change and perhaps a football president at the same level of Ted, you know, and your article where you know talked about Rick Smith and Trace Armstrong and guys like that, I allowed myself to think that they were really going to entertain it. And I find myself so disappointed. It just feels so similar to so many processes before, and all respect to Bill Polian, but once he helps with a hire, then he's gone, and who's here and who's accountable? It's the fan. It's the guy who told us he was a fan, and that's George. So is there anybody among the 11 general manager requests we know that have interviewed? And then we can add Morocco Brown and Omar Khan are supposed to interview, I think, one today, one tomorrow. I don't know if Rick Smith has officially interviewed. Can you confirm or deny if he has officially interviewed? And is there anybody from that name who feels worthy of a president role, even if it doesn't come with that official title? It's still GM, but maybe they could do the presidential things that I had allowed myself to dream about.
Yeah, you know, silly you and silly me, right? I think as of last week, Smith had not interviewed. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. Hmm. It's a big list. I think, you know, there's some intriguing guys on it for sure. There's some guys who I think are kind of well proven in terms of personnel and, you know, being able to identify good players and that sort of thing. I think that's not the issue. I think, you know, the bigger issue is can they find someone who they feel comfortable with in a real leadership position? You know, I think it's more important than ever that they find a person who is able to really lead an entire football operation if you move Ted aside, as they said they're going to do, you know, because now there's one less layer there, which, you know, could be significant. So, you know, you wonder if they're going to go for a guy who's got a little bit more experience, you know, like a Jeff Ireland, who's been, you know, in that seat before when he's with Miami, or if they go with a guy who's an up-and-comer like Morocco Brown or Elliot Wolf, you know, so many different people, as you said, that they've talked to, and it's hard to say where the process is right now, but I think again, certainly some interesting options that they're dealing with.
We're talking to Dan Pompey from The Athletic and, of course, a longtime contributor here at The Score. We mentioned, you know, that you wrote this book with Doug Peterson. Have you talked to Doug since he interviewed with the Bears? Because I just kind of want to be reassured that they're at least doing it well and competently.
Well, you know, I had a brief conversation with him, but I think that I need to keep that between us right now.
Okay. Okay, but yeah, he doesn't have a second interview, so you know, deductive reasoning would tell us that he's not a finalist for this job. Feels like he is going to get a job though, right? He's in the mix in a lot of places. Like it seems like this go around, Dan, it's going to be a lot of guys getting either second or third chances. Jim Caldwell, Doug Peterson, Dan Quinn. Like it feels like that might end up being the story of this cycle.
It could be. You know, I think that's a good point, Danny. I think that teams are valuing experience for whatever reason. I think, you know, part of the thing is, too, the change has been so consuming in the last few seasons with the head coach position. Even this year, there's more openings than anyone suspected there would be. So, you know, you get to a point where, you know, how many up-and-coming young guys who you're really excited about are out there, and you know, you find that the pool starts to thin a little bit, and then you start looking maybe at some of the second chance guys and seeing the merit in bringing in one of those, especially if they're a guy who has been fired after, you know, showing some things and having some success, as Caldwell has, as Dan Quinn has, and certainly as Doug Peterson has. I mean, you know, his success as a as a head coach is clearly in a different category from all these other guys, having been a guy who won a Super Bowl with Nick Foles as his quarterback, and you know, has got a pretty good record, and obviously, you know, things fell apart at the end and went south, but you know, the totality of his impact in Philadelphia will be celebrated for years to come, decades to come, probably.
Talking to Dan Pompey right here from The Athletic. Devin Hester, one of the 15 finalists for the Hall of Fame. Are you going to make the case? Danny, you've made the case.
It's already happened, right?
Yeah.
You guys just had the meeting.
Oh, right. My bad. So, yes. So fill us in on that and how that process is going. Is Devin going to be a Hall of Famer? We feel like he should be and hope he will be.
Yeah, I certainly feel he should be too, and I think he will definitely be a Hall of Famer at some point. It's just a matter of whether or not he goes in this year. And as you guys said, we've already had the meeting, but the votes have not been announced yet. They'll be announced the Thursday before the Super Bowl on the NFL Honors Show. So everything's under wraps right now, but I can tell you this, that he's got just a slam dunk case. I mean, there's not many players I would sit here and tell you that I have no doubt they will be a Hall of Famer. But with Devin Hester, I can tell you that. I mean, of all the 15 finalists we've got, of the 15, I wouldn't be surprised if all 15 of them get into the Hall of Fame at some point, because it's a strong group of 15. But of the 15, he's the only one who is a two-time all-decade team member, the only one who is a member of the NFL 100 anniversary team. And, I don't think very few players in history changed games the way Devin Hester did. And beyond changing games, I mean, he changed the game, because he forced teams to, you know, start looking at different ways of punting and kicking off and playing punt and kickoff coverage. And, one of the things that they started doing more of when he came along was the Australian-style punt. And that has kind of taken off like wildfire in the NFL since. And, you know, I've spoken with a number of people, including special teams coaches and kickers and punters, who say, you know, that all started because of Devin Hester, and he was the cause of it. Wow. There's not many players, like I said, you could say that really left that kind of footprint on the NFL.
It's great to hear, and it's, you know, I was reading about that process. You guys are on that call for 7 hours and hearing the presentations and going over all the names. Bill Polian's also one of the selectors, correct? It's like, how well do you know the current version of Bill Polian, who seems to have the biggest voice in the room with the Bears?
I know Bill. I mean, we are on the same committee. I sat next to him a few years ago during an all-day meeting for the Centennial class. And, you know, I've known him for years, for probably decades. I know him well, and I have a lot of respect for him. I think he is, I wrote this in a column that, you know, I think, you know, he understands the NFL and, the nuances of competition and what makes teams great as well as anybody alive. You know, his body of work is convincing. And when you talk to him, it's impressive. So I understand why George McCaskey is putting his trust in him. But again, I think, you know, ultimately, it's got to be George McCaskey's hire. It's got to be the Bears' hire. Now, Bill Polian is not the general manager or the president of operations or anything like that. He's a consultant, and consultants should consult.
I'll tell you what concerns me, and I admit, Dan, that it's maybe a little ageist. I will admit that. I don't mean it to come across that way. But is the best interest of the 22-year-old quarterback prospect with this rapidly changing NFL, you know, for the 79-year-old former executive who's been out of the league for a decade to maybe hire the 67-year-old Jim Caldwell who he hired back in 2009? Like, it worries me that we want to find someone who can put Justin Fields on that stage last night where he can compete with the likes of Allen and Mahomes, and they're talking to people maybe of a different generation of football.
Well, I understand that, but I think, you know, anybody who is reasonable and forward-thinking can change with the times. I mean, look at the guy who's running that Chiefs offense. How old is he? You know, how old is the guy who's who we all call the best coach in football? He's also the oldest coach in football. So, you know, I think we have to be a little bit careful with those kinds of generalizations, but I understand where you're coming from. I mean, you know, I know there's always kind of a, you know, a bent towards, well, let's get a cutting edge thinker, you know, somebody who sees it differently. But, you know, I also think, you know, good old fashioned proven common sense matters too.
Yeah.
And the thing is, Danny, in terms of offense, Bill Polian and those Bills and Jim Kelly, that K-Gun and Marv Levy, that was progressive and still would be, frankly, what that was. And then what they did in Indianapolis was progressive and, frankly, still would be. So in terms of offensive theories, it's not like an outdated style or that kind of thing. Right?
Well, I think what he gets, though, is that, you know, you have to keep changing. I think he's proven that throughout time, that, you know, there's not just one way of doing it, and this is the way we're going to do it. So I think, you know, I would think certainly that he's open-minded about that. Now, whether or not he's going to be looking for a guy who's, you know, a offensive revolutionary or something, I don't know about that. But I think that, you know, he gets it that, you know, the game evolves, and the thinking has to evolve as well. The coaching has to evolve.
Dan, thank you very much for the time. Love reading you at The Athletic, and whenever you give us time here at The Score, it's always great stuff, so we appreciate it. Thank you.
My pleasure, guys. Have a nice afternoon.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you. That's Dan Pompey from The Athletic and The Score.
You know what Dan Pompey also has? Enormous guns. The man works out, still lifts a lot. Yep. So if he's sitting next to you for a 7-hour meeting, you know, and you're a football guy, you're not thinking, oh, who's this little pipsqueak writer guy next to me? No.
Even on a Zoom, the biceps come through?
I think so. Even more so on a Zoom is my theory anyway.
Oh,
still working on it.
He just leans into the camera and shows them to you. We might have a new rivalry. Not that it's new in that, you know, they're in the division, but some new intensity to a rivalry in a sport that could desperately use it. It's next on The Score.